You are listening to The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano here on 77 WABC. It seems like over the last few years, but especially the last few months, the world has gone UFO crazy. And it's a subject that I've tried to pay a little bit of attention to and highlight here on this show to some extent. And one of the more interesting articles that I read on this subject was in The New Yorker, and we spoke with the author of that piece, and I was really, really riveted about the detail that he went into about specific UFO incidents. And then lo and behold, one of the people that he quotes, that Gideon Lewis Krause, the author of that New Yorker piece, quotes, is Vincent Aiello. And I'm embarrassed to say it, but prior to reading about him in this New Yorker piece, I didn't know who Vincent Aiello was. Turns out he's a podcaster and a former fighter pilot who was actually serving on the USS Nimitz at the time of this UFO encounter that we've heard so much about. And I stumbled upon his podcast. It turns out it's terrific. It's great. The only thing more interesting than the subjects that he covers in his podcast, which you could check out for yourself at fighterpilotpodcast.com, is his own story itself. And I'm just thrilled that he's agreed to spend a few minutes with us on the radio. Vincent, it's so great to talk with you. Thank you.
You're welcome, Frank. It's great to be here.
So I read that you actually became enamored with the world of aviation as a youngster, as an eight-year-old. What happened?
Oh, I went to my very first air show, and I was just smitten. I mean, you've got these loud airplanes that are flying by, and you have other ones on display, and pilots that were willing to stoop on a knee and meet an eight-year-old eye-to-eye. And I just thought, boy, this is the life for me.
Well, that's great. I mean, we have a lot of terrific air shows in our area. In Atlantic City, the air show that they do there with the USAF Thunderbirds is always a spectacle, and it's always something that people really enjoy. So if people bring their children to some of these air shows, perhaps they'll be creating a future fighter pilot by doing so. Now, you have had a pretty interesting career. These days, you're a pilot for a commercial airline, but you've spent a lot of your career flying for the Navy, and you actually were a Top Gun instructor. Now, a lot of us know about Top Gun and the Top Gun Flight School from the Tom Cruise movie. I think the sequel is coming out this year, if it's not already out. There are people that are weathermen that absolutely hate the movie Twister. There are people that are radio folks that love to tell you how inaccurate the film talk radio is. I'm curious, as an actual Top Gun instructor and air wing operations officer, what were your views on the Tom Cruise movie?
Well, so it's a great question. And let's say this. I think for those other careers, although I can't speak to them personally, I imagine it's the same as it is for military aviation. Hollywood wants to sell tickets and make people feel good for a couple hours to enjoy something. The last thing they want to do is just show more of the drudgery that we all live. So they have to take some liberties, and it sounds like they did that in those other films, and they certainly did it in the 1986 blockbuster Top Gun. I mean, if they really reflected our careers as fighter pilots, Frank, it would be horribly boring. We'll spend the entire 2 hours of the movie just debriefing a 35-minute mission we just flew. So, yeah, they took some liberties, and I'm glad they did. I spend time on my podcast debunking some of the things they did, but in the end, it's a fun movie. Come on.
It certainly is. All right. So you are the founder of something called Jello and the host of the Fighter Pilot Podcast. What is Jello?
Well, so Jello is a nickname, which in military aviation, we call it a call sign. And it just means instead of calling me Vincent or Hey You or anything else, they call me Jello because it's fun. And there's a lot more to call signs than that. But that's the gist of it.
Got it. All right. So you're Jello.
Right.
Okay. So, and people, again, can check out the podcast at fighterpilotpodcast.com. All right. You have spent some time on your website and a little bit on the podcast going into something that I have to confess I had never even thought about, that is air show security. How concerned should Americans be about air show security these days?
Well, not too much, I would say. I mean, from their point of view, when they go, because of the security to get in the show in the first place, which if you went to shows in 1978, like I did at 8 years old, then it's a whole different world compared to post 9/11. I don't think I even need to mention it.
Sure.
But I think when you're there, you're no more at risk than in Central Park or anywhere else. And when you are there from a military's point of view, well, then, yeah, your equipment is there, but you've always got folks around. And there's nothing site sensitive. They're not giving away any secrets by bringing the F-22 or the F-35 to an air show. Of course, you don't want someone to walk up with a handful of marbles or something and throw it at the airplane or down the intakes, of course. But, you know, I don't think the world is quite as crazy as the news and social media want us to believe.
Well, that's good. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
For people that haven't heard your podcast yet, and if people just tuning in, we're talking with Vincent Aiello. He's the host of the Fighter Pilot Podcast. How would you describe your podcast and the issues you focus on?
Well, we have a tagline that says it's the internet radio show that explores the fascinating world of air combat, the aircraft, the weapon systems, and most importantly, the people. And as you stated earlier, Frank, people love to go to air shows. Mm. I mean, I don't know what it is, if it's the same thing that smited me or whatever the word is when I was 8 years old, enthused me. I think you go there and it's just a fun event for the day. You get to see the airplanes and they're amazing and they're death-defying stunts. But I think it's just something also that you can feel patriotically proud about, that we have these amazing machines and they're so fast and agile. And when they go overseas, you hear about them in the news of these things that they're doing, hopefully for the right reasons. And so I just got into that as a young man. And when I was leaving the Navy, I didn't want to turn my back on 25 years of doing that. So I had an idea to start a military aviation podcast. There was none at the time, and there are several now. And I'm just exploring the world and sharing these stories. And people who go to air shows, they like to hear about it. And so it gives them something to do when they're sitting in traffic.
Do you find that most of the people that listen to your podcast are military veterans, or do you find that most of them tend to be people like me who've never seen the inside of a cockpit?
Probably more people like you. So our typical demographic is about a 25 to 45 year old male, and they just like to listen to it because they can learn about the, you know, again, if you see the F-14 in the movie Top Gun, well then, okay, you see a little, but you don't really know that much. And we had an entire episode with a pilot in Rio crew, and we talked about just little things like there's switches that feel the same, and you don't always have the luxury to look down inside and flip a particular switch when you're in the middle of a big dogfight. Mm. And so what the pilots did, Frank, is they took, you know, those blue pen caps of a Bic pen. You remember the ones? They look like a like a pointy end, and then the little part that sticks out to put on your lapel or whatever.
I love those.
So they'd put that, they'd put that on one of the switches so that they could reach down and feel it without looking, and then they knew how to flip the switch right. And so we have little things like that on the show that you're not going to read about, but when someone starts telling stories, you know, you really come alive, and that's what people love is the stories.
All right. Now, a lot of people are concerned about some of the potential military threats from countries like Russia and China. You've mused quite a bit about the potential of a conflict with either or both of those countries. How concerned do you think Americans should be about the rising military expansionism of China and the rising hostilities with a country like Russia?
Well, I think it's probably China is the one to be more fearful if you want to be fearful, but I don't think it's something where we should be staying up late at night or digging shelters. You know, anytime, and we all experience this as kids, right? Anytime the two biggest kids are on the playground, they're going to square off. And in the region of nations, it's not always militarily, thank goodness, although throughout history that has happened many times. But it's economically, it's diplomatically, it's all these other things. And so when you have something like communist China and the freedom-loving states of the United States and the West, you're going to have some ideological differences. You're going to have some different approaches to how they think they should run a country compared to how we think a country should be run. And certainly they can point at some of our dysfunction and say, you're not doing it any better. But, you know, I've read that if you're on the internet in China, you can't find anything on the internet about the Tiananmen Square incident. And so I'm not saying our system is perfect, but I personally think it's better than the state telling you what you can and can't do or search or think or dress or do. And so, again, I think when you've got two superpowers, they're going to face off. And let's hope we never have a military confrontation, because it won't just be militarily. I think your listeners are hopefully aware, but we receive a lot of goods here in the United States that come from China. And if there is a conflict, well, then stand by for your world to be rocked if those stop coming in, because everything else is going to be scarce. It's going to be more expensive. And it's not just going to be dangerous to in the military. I think it's going to be dangerous to our way of life. And I really hope it doesn't come to that. But we stand for certain things in the United States, and we won't stand for example, China taking claims to certain parts of the South China Sea that, according to international law, are not theirs to claim. And so there are some differences, Frank, but I don't think we should be staying up late losing sleep.
Wonderful. Well, I'm up late anyway hosting a radio show, so I'm not staying up late for those worries. All right, we're talking with Vincent Aiello. He's the host of a terrific podcast called Fighter Pilot Podcast. Check it out online, fighterpilotpodcast.com. Now, as I alluded to when I introduced you, you were actually serving on the Nimitz at the time of this UFO encounter. Now, these videos of this encounter have now been well publicized. They've been written about in the New York Times. The authenticity of these videos has been confirmed by the Pentagon. It's from 2004. What did you see? What did you experience at the time of this incident?
Well, I remember there was some hubbub on the ship that particular day, Frank, but I don't remember thinking it was particularly as big a deal as it feels like it is now, what is it, 17 years later. So we were off the coast of Mexico, just south of San Diego, doing our what we call workups, which is basically, think of it as summer training or spring training maybe for the Yankees. So they're off in wherever they do their spring training and getting ready for the season. Well, we were off the coast of Mexico getting ready for a deployment that, in fact, happened to be chronicled. We deployed in 2005, and I don't know if you ever caught it, Frank, but in 2008, there was a PBS carrier series. There was 8 episodes, and that was our deployment that we were preparing for in November of 2004. And so you can find that on YouTube and other places, and I've got a little cameo on there in one of the episodes. But at any rate, I remember somebody saying, hey, so-and-so saw such and such. And I didn't know what it was, but it wasn't like it was a big deal to me, because everyone's got their own little things. And if someone else has got a thing, well, then, hey, good for you. And how does it bother me? No, it doesn't. Okay, I'm going to get on with my day and my thing. And so I don't remember it really particularly being a big deal. And then the next day, I remember there was a little comic strip on the back of our airplane. And the airplane just simply is your schedule for the day. It's got everybody's flights and what the time they're doing it and how many aircraft. And on the back are all these notes. And there's a little bit of white space left. And so they always put a little funny in there. And the next day they put some funny about this incident. And that was about the end of it, truthfully.
Commander Fravor, who spoke out repeatedly on this issue, including most recently to 60 Minutes, he was on the Nimitz as well. What was your impression of Commander Fravor? Did he strike you as a credible guy and somebody whose observations should count for something?
Oh, absolutely. I have no doubt about his credibility, professionalism, sobriety, and I don't mean literally, I mean figuratively, but there's no reason I would think that he's a quack or has an agenda. In fact, I interviewed him for my show, and it's been, a couple of years since we've had him on. But I suddenly noticed a lot more downloads of that episode for the reasons you've already stated, Frank. And so I stand by my assessment. I interviewed my interview with him in his basement. And as we were telling the story, I realized, wow, how did I not realize this was a bigger deal back then? But I go back to my point of whatever I was doing, I guess, was my bigger deal at the time. And so he, as far as I'm concerned, is genuinely mystified by what he saw. But he knows what he saw, because, Frank, when this happened, he was not a brand-new junior pilot. He was either the executive or the commanding officer of the squadron, which is the number one or the number two guy, not in that order. And so he had thousands of hours of experience at that point. He was a Top Gun instructor. He was a commander in rank, which is where he retired. And so I have no doubts that he genuinely believes that he saw something that he can't explain, and that he has now described it on my show, on Joe Rogan, and on 60 Minutes. And he stands by the efficacy of his story. And I have no reason to doubt that he's making it up, or that he's, you know, I don't think he's making it up. I don't think he has an agenda. I don't think he's just trying to get attention. I think he's genuinely perplexed at what he witnessed that day.
So based on your review of this video and having spoken with David Traver about it, and I'm sure done some of your own independent research, what do you think these objects are?
Well, I don't know is the short answer. If you had to pin me down to say, do you think they're from this, you know, Earth, or from out of our Earth atmosphere, from the universe, I would say I think they're probably something governmental that we don't know about, and whether it's our own or someone else's, either one of those are plausible. But when it comes right down to it, I mean, they call them something different now, I guess.
UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena.
Unexplained, that's right, not unidentified. But, you know, I've had people leave comments on my YouTube video about this, saying, it's an airplane, or it's a such and such, it's not an alien. And I said, look, I never said it was an alien. It's unidentified. There's plenty of things out there that are unidentified. And then you say, oh, of course, it's whatever. But I also think, Frank, there's a lot more of these incidents that are being reported. And I think in some cases, there could be explainable reasons for why, for example, the one off the East Coast appeared to be moving so quickly. And I think there are even some YouTube videos that explain it. And if you don't mind, I'll try to take a stab at doing this over radio.
Please.
So imagine you have a drumstick or anything straight, but I think most people are familiar with a drumstick, right? And so if you're holding it up and down with the tip at the top, let's say the tip is the airplane. So whatever you and I are flying in, Frank, we are up there at that tip, right? Now, let's suppose we're going to put our thumb and forefinger on this drumstick that is going to be something we're looking at. And let's move it not quite middle of the stick. Let's move it a little closer to us, per se, right? So now I want you to think about taking your aircraft and put that in your other thumb and forefinger. And I hope you're following me here. And as you hold both now and you move your airplane in flight, Frank, right, as you're looking down at where your other forefinger and thumb are holding, what's happening to the bottom of the stick? The bottom of the stick is moving very quickly over the ground, isn't it? Well, so the phenomenon I'm trying to describe, and I don't know if you're following me, but is if you're at the tip of the drumstick looking down at where you're holding it, and as you're flying by it, the other end of the drumstick is acting like what the ground is acting like, and it makes it look like it's moving very quickly, when in fact it might not be. And so it's somewhat of a visual illusion. There's other explanations, like I said, on YouTube, where they've shown like actual airplanes, not just UFOs or UAPs or anything else, but where they've showed if a camera airplane is filming another airplane over the ground, but if this sensation is happening that I'm trying to describe, then it can make it look like it's moving extremely quickly over the ground, and it might just be somewhat of a visual illusion.
Wow. Well, it's very interesting. Now, this is far from the only incident that shows objects like the tic-tac-shaped objects in the Nimitz video. It was just a video released a couple of days ago with an incident on the Omaha. We've seen incidents off the coast of San Diego and elsewhere. There's going to be a report that the Pentagon is mandated to release by Congress detailing what precisely the military knows about these unexplained aerial phenomenon. What are your expectations, if any, for what will be in that report?
Well, let me start by not answering that and telling you that I've had other friends on my podcast who have silently and anonymously on the side said, hey, I also saw something, but I've never said anything about it because I just don't want to be bothered. I don't want to go through the drill. And so I never said anything. I said, well, that's really interesting. If you ever decide you want to go public, do me a favor. Let me be Geraldo Rivera here and reveal it, because I think that would be really fascinating. But I get it. You don't want to be bothered, and I don't blame you. I think, to answer your question, that ultimately – so I hope I don't get any trouble. So real quick, Frank, when I was in the military, there were certain secret things and top secret things that I knew and still know. And when I left the Navy, I had to sign papers and disclaimers basically to say, look, until the day I die, I will not disclose this, right? And so I'm not trying to say a roundabout way that I know anything about what these could be. What I'm trying to say is there are probably, my gut feeling on this is there are probably black projects, as it's called, or other things out there that there's a lot of people that know these things, but they can't talk about it. And so right now, the government is probably behind closed doors working with other parts of the government to say, look, if we have to shine a light on this thing, it's going to either give up a strategic advantage, or it's going to reveal a giant lie, or it's going to reveal capability that we don't want our adversaries to know about. Let's go back to our discussion a little bit ago on China and Russia. And so what can we let you put in there without giving away all our secrets? So if you really held me to it, that's what I would say it is.
Interesting.
Because if we know it's the other country's stuff, well, maybe we'll just tell them we know. But maybe we don't want to tell them we know they're over here snooping around because we're kind of secretly snooping on them. So I don't know.
Well, it's certainly a fascinating, fascinating subject. And your exploration of it on the Fighter Pilot podcast has really been interesting. It provides a lot of answers, but it raises even more questions. Vincent Aiello, thank you very much for the time this morning. I hope we can do it again soon.
You're welcome, Frank. I appreciate you having me on.
If you want to comment on any portion of my discussion with Vincent Aiello, you're welcome to give me a call, 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight on WABC. Straight ahead.